Nobody writes songs like that anymore. I wonder why. God has blessed us with so many songs like that, where our hearts, when they are in tune, they run to those songs. We find solace in those songs. Our hearts agree with those songs. When our hearts are in tune, praise God this morning. The bride eyes not her garment. You know, you can do that. You can lose your beautiful standing in Christ by overmuch concern about your garment. You can. The bride eyes not her garment. We all know that. But her beloved's face. Let's stand together for prayer. Can we do that? Father in heaven, we come again in Jesus' name this morning. We come beseeching you. We bring our fasting prayers to you this morning in Jesus' name, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our hearts. We thank you for the sweet times of brokenness. We thank you, Father, for the examinations. But, oh God, we thank you this morning for the reminder. While, yes, we do examine our hearts at times like this, we need to lay aside the thoughts of a garment and we need to turn our eyes upon Thee. Hallelujah. We turn our eyes upon Jesus. We look full in His wonderful face. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ this morning. We thank you for the songs that you've given to us, Lord. They are rich. They are a gift, dear Father. We know that you inspired them by the Holy Ghost. We know they were written in the atmosphere of revival, God, and we thank you for it. We only pray, Lord, do it again. Do it again, dear Father, that songs may flow like this again. God, we just want to commit this next part of the service into your care. Like we heard downstairs, we've been talking to you for these 3 days. Now, Father, talk to us. Through your word, talk to us. We are listening. Have mercy on us, Lord, and shine the light of your word upon the church at Charity. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I'd like us to open our Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 58. We're going to take another look at Isaiah chapter 58 this morning. This message has been on my heart for 2 years. But we don't get to preach when we want to. We get to preach when God wants us to. And I haven't had the liberty or haven't had the opportunity to bring this message that is on my heart this morning for 2 years. So there it sits and it waits until God's time. And I feel that's this morning. The title of the message is The Power of Corporate Prayer and Fasting. The Power of Corporate Prayer and Fasting. I've been so encouraged these last 3 days to be able to walk through the exercises, the spiritual disciplines that we have set ourselves aside to do. I've been greatly encouraged by that. And I thank God that I can be in a place where people want to do things like what we've been doing the last 3 days. I know that we're a needy church. I know that we have lots of needs. There are many things that God needs to do in our hearts. But I do thank God that I can be in a place where the building fills up with people who want to seek God, deny themselves, stop eating,
open up their hearts and let God examine them for a season and then seek God for answered prayers. I have considered this chapter in Isaiah 58 many times. I have stated that it is an Old Testament example of a New Testament Spirit-filled life and have used it to speak on the subject of revival, of personal revival. And it is that, and we can apply it that way this morning. However, with a clear examination of these verses, I've come to notice the corporate nature of this chapter. Though it is right for us to take it personally, and we can follow everything that I'm going to say this morning, applying it to the church, we can apply it to our own lives, and we will get good spiritual mileage out of it. Nevertheless, the nature of the chapter is corporate. As I began to realize that, some new meanings and blessings and depths began to open up in my own meditations. Verse 1 says, "My people." Verse 2 says, "They." God is speaking to His people here. This isn't a chapter written to you as an individual. It's written to God's people as a whole. God had a controversy with His people as a whole. The corporate body of His people there in the Old Testament. And this chapter was breathed out by God through the prophet Isaiah to a group of people. So I would like to preach on these verses with a corporate perspective this morning, which seems very fitting to me in light of all that we've been through here the last 3 days. Consider with me the Old Testament example of a New Testament Spirit-filled church here in these verses. There is power in corporate prayer and fasting, probably way more than what we realize. I believe if we realized how much power there really is in corporate prayer and fasting, we would be doing it way more. We wouldn't just say, well, maybe once, we'll do it in a year's time. If we realized the power of corporate prayer and fasting. There are only a few examples here in the United States of churches who would take such exercises seriously. There are many examples in other lands. China, Vietnam, Africa, Uganda, Botswana, Romania, Russia. There are many, many examples where whole churches set aside several days and sought God with earnest, sincere hearts that God would meet with them and deal with them so that He could meet with them. There are many examples. There are some examples in church history. But oh, that churches would rise up with a vision and put God to the test of this chapter that we're going to look at this morning. There are churches that are falling apart. I mean churches that we know about. Churches with brothers and sisters in them that we know very well, that are falling apart this morning. I wonder what would happen if those churches would unite their hearts together with a common goal to humble themselves and seek the face of God and allow God to hear the cries of their hearts. I wonder what would happen. This chapter is not just for churches or people who are falling apart, but it is for churches who want to move forward and possess all the land. And I believe that's the kind of people that I'm addressing this morning. We're not falling apart here. Yes, we have needs, but I'd rather see this message this morning as preventative maintenance, so that there does not come a day that we are falling apart, that we're splintered into pieces, that we're hurt and we're wounded and we can't get along with each other and we're fussing about all kinds of things. I rather see this message as preventative maintenance. And I do believe, brothers and sisters, that we need to take strongly the beautiful things which God is doing for us in this place. May God help us to never take it for granted. Even though I know that we do take it for granted. I know that I take it for granted at times. But oh, it's so good for me to travel to other places. Then I begin to realize what I have here at home, in my home church. You just can't imagine the difference of sitting in a service and singing the same little chorus over and over again 20 times. And then to come home here and sit in a service and sing all these songs with all of your heart, which are packed full of doctrine, packed full of a heart of worship, packed full of a revelation of the character of God. We're rich. Oh, we're rich. God help us. This message is preventative maintenance this morning. It's also meant to inspire us to do what we've done this weekend again. And not to wait a whole year. Let's not make a religious thing out of this. Once a year we do it. Well, it's time to do it again. No. And it's also to encourage us to get all that we can out of this weekend. Shall we read the chapter? Let's stand and do that. God says, through Isaiah, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, they delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, or like they were a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Awesome thing to do if the heart and life is full of sin. Yet we live in a land where that's done every Sunday morning by millions. And maybe we've done it on Sunday morning. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? You're not hearing us, God. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, says God, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? You miss the whole thing, Israel. Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Then God begins to define for us what is a fast that is acceptable to the Lord. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Every yoke, brothers and sisters. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, and thou coverest him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, your own family. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Notice the corporate nature of these blessings. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. He will answer your prayers. Thou shalt cry, and He shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking of vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday, O Charity Christian Fellowship. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. I wonder how many prayers we prayed this weekend that God would guide us. The Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee, O Charity Christian Fellowship, to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You may be seated. God had a controversy with His people. They were religious. They were going through the motions, even to the point of fasting. My, they were religious people. But they had no heart. They had no heart in it. They were religious. They were going through the motions. They were approaching God. They were saying, Praise You, Lord. All those things they were doing. They were fasting. But they had no heart in it. Now this morning, I know that these two verses do not apply to us corporately. I know that. But it may be that there's somebody here this morning, or a few here this morning, who find themselves in the same place. And maybe you went through this whole fasting weekend and you were kind of like on the edge of the whole thing. You were there. You knew you needed to be there. You went out without eating because you knew you should. The church is going to do this. And so you were there, but you were kind of on the fringes. You were kind of on the edge. You were kind of on the outside looking in. But you went through the motions of everything. You came here. You sang the songs. Maybe you even prayed a prayer. But your heart was not in what was going on. That's the way it was with Israel. And God had a controversy with them. Religion will do that. Oh, religion is very subtle. Oh, how the flesh loves religion. In verse 3 and 4 in the margin of my Bible, I wrote these words. They had a fasting stomach, but not a fasting heart. Oh, may God deliver us from fasting stomachs that do not have a fasting heart. You know, there's a big difference between the two of those. A big difference. And we can do that. And the flesh can do that. And the flesh will be glad to do that. Just as long as it doesn't have to die. It will even do that. The Lord had a controversy with His people. They were fasting. Yet it says here in verse 3 and 4, they were seeking pleasure and profit. It says in verse 3 and 4 that they just kept right on working. It was business as usual. It says in verse 3 and 4 that their motives were wrong. They wanted to fast for strife and for debate and so that they could smite with the fish. Maybe they wanted to put somebody in their place. Maybe they wanted to straighten out the country that was next to them. Who knows what the motives were for their fasting. But their motives were wrong. They're wrong. We can also have wrong motives, can't we? We can gather together and say, okay, Lord, we're going to fast because we want you to do beautiful things here at Charity Christian Fellowship so that people will hear about Charity Christian Fellowship. We can do that. Those are wrong motives. Those are wrong motives. No. We just need God, brothers and sisters, that's all. We just need God. And when God is real, when He's reality, when He's sweet, when He's our beloved, like the song said, God does beautiful things. Yes, He does. But the motive is different. It's different. It's Jesus. It's not Charity Christian Fellowship. It's Jesus. God declares to them, I will not come to your aid and I will not answer your prayers. Imagine such a word. I will not come to your aid, and I will not answer your prayers, even though your stomach is empty. In verse 5, God says, is it such a fast that I have chosen? Is this what I have chosen? And if you read it on the surface, you won't get what God was saying there. Because these are all good things. These are things that God told them to do when they fast. Afflict your soul. Bow your head. And sit in sackcloth and ashes. The children of Israel did that many times. They did it at times with the right heart. And God came to their aid and heard their prayers. And my, there's some beautiful things, some stories in the Old Testament of when God came to the aid of His people when they did all those things with the right heart. But God is challenging them, saying, do you think this is what it's all about? Your stomach is empty. You're afflicting yourself. You're putting yourself through some hard times. You're feeling a little bit weak. You've got your head hanging down. You're sitting with sackcloth on and you have ashes on your head. That's all well and good, but you don't have any heart. Is this the fast that I have chosen, God says? No, it is not. No, it is not. No heart of desperation, no heart of mourning, no heart that cries out to God for help in time of need. Just going through the motions. Well, it's our time. It's the time to do this. We're going to do this again. No. No, God says, I want it to be deeper than that. I want you to come to me. Yes, amen. Withhold food from your stomach. Amen, says God. That's okay. It's okay to afflict your soul. That's all right. But I want you to come to me with a motive of desperation. I want you to come to me with a heart that is broken. I want you to come to me because you need me. And if you come that way, things will happen. That's what we find in verse 6. Verse 6. Let me paraphrase the first part of verse 6 for you. This is the fast that I have chosen. This is the fast that I have chosen, God said to the children of Israel. Everyone sit up and take notice this morning. God is going to define a biblical fast. He's going to define it. So we need to take notice. God gets right down to the motives for fasting. What is fasting all about? To loose the bands of wickedness. You know, I wrote in the margin of my Bible next to this verse, sins
of commission. And then in the verse following, verse 7, I wrote, sins of omission. You know there's a difference. There are sins that we commit, and there are sins because we omitted doing that which we should have done. And they are both found in here, in these verses. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. Free us from sin, Lord. That's a good prayer to pray. As a congregation, free us from sin, Lord. Loose the bands of wickedness. We all know wickedness has bands. Wickedness is powerful. Wickedness is powerful than we ever thought it would be. Wickedness has more strength than we dreamed it did. Wickedness has bands. It binds. But, according to these verses that we're looking here, the biblical fast looses the bands of wickedness. Maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, okay, that's me. That's me. Well, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by, Lord. If the bands of wickedness are still there upon you, God can loose those. But let us consider it this morning, brothers and sisters, in a corporate nature. Consider the motivation of loosing those bands of wickedness. As we seek the face of God, let us seek the face of God that He would do just that in our midst. In our midst. God, give us a healthy body. Loose the bands of wickedness among us. They're there. They're there. They may be upon you this morning. They may be upon your brother. They may be upon your sister this morning. Lord, loose the bands of wickedness. This is a fasting prayer. And it works, by the way. Then I looked at the next part there, to undo the heavy burdens. And I read in the margin of my Bible, it says, the bundles, the bundles. And I get the picture there of an individual with a whole bunch of bundles on their back, walking through life. Walking through life with heavy burdens, heavy burdens. Maybe that's how you feel. I feel so burdened down. Life is such a load to me. Please don't put another bundle on me. I don't think I can handle one more bundle on my back. Well, the fasting prayer is a prayer that looses the heavy burdens. Praise God. Just come by with a knife and snip those things and watch the bundles roll off. One. And another one, then another one, then another one. And all of a sudden, the child of God is free and open and can stand upright and walk upright again and not burdened down with a load of cares. The fasting prayers will do that. Hallelujah. And to let the oppressed go free. Maybe that's where you are this morning. Oppressed. Just can't seem to get free. Just can't seem to move out in freedom. There's something just pressing in on you all the time. Fasting prayers. Let the oppressed go free. Just got a testimony in the mail yesterday from a sister in another state who all her life was gripped with fear. All her life
She thought to herself when she was a little girl, when I become a Christian, I'll be free from this fear that plagues me and controls me and oppresses me continually. She became a Christian when she was 13 years old. Didn't go away. Didn't go away. Or maybe I'll go to Bible school. And maybe I'll get rid of it if I go to Bible school. But didn't go away. Didn't go away. Then she thought, well, it's time to get married. God has brought a lovely husband my way. And I'm going to get married and maybe it'll be gone once I get married. But it didn't go away. It just didn't go away. She wrote a beautiful testimony of how she sought the face of God and her husband sought the face of God and they sought God together concerning this issue. And God, by His Spirit, came and clipped the bondage that was in her life. And her words were, I'm free! I'm free! I'm free like I've never been free! And she wrote the letter about 3 months, 4 months after that initial point in time in her life when God broke the bands asunder. 4 months later, I'm free like I've never been free. That's what a fasting prayer will do. And that you break every yoke. And as I looked at that, I thought, yes, Lord, every yoke. Now think about what a yoke is, brothers and sisters, this morning. A yoke, that's not a little thing, a yoke. A yoke is a great, big, thick, heavy, strong piece of wood that ties two oxen together so that they can't get away from each other, so that they can be guided down the furrows out in the field. It's a great, big, heavy, wooden yoke. Maybe you feel like you have a great, big, heavy, wooden yoke that has tied you to something. And you're tired of being tied to it. You don't have to be tied to it. Break every yoke. Every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou coverest him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. And I wrote next to my Bible here, others, Lord, others. Now we get into the sins of omission. Omission. I've been all wrapped up in me. I've been all wrapped up in my business. I've been all wrapped up in my own things and my own ideas. And God says, I want you to turn your attention on others. Interesting thing to come in here in the middle of this challenge about fasting. What is God saying in all these things? God is saying the purpose for fasting is to draw near to me. The purpose for fasting is to break the yokes that are in our lives. The purpose for fasting is to humble our hearts and deal with the needs that we have in our lives. That's what the fast is all about. Israel had it all mixed up. They just thought, you know. And oh, how our human nature is like this, you know. We just want a formula. You know, 1, 2, 3. Step 1, step 2, step 3. You know, give us our 1, 2, 3 and we'll do it and everything will be okay. And their 1, 2, 3 was, go without eating, hang your head in sadness, put on some sackcloth, which by the way is pretty uncomfortable clothes to wear, and take a bunch of ashes and dump them on your head. There's your 1, 2, 3. But nothing happens with those 1, 2, 3s. God says, you don't need a 1, 2, 3, you need me. You need me. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you, the Scriptures tell us. Sins of omission. We just have to consider those a moment this morning. Maybe it's a long, long time since we were ever burdened about a soul.
Maybe it's a long time since we ever spoke to somebody about a soul. These are issues with God, brother, sister. Maybe our prayer life is zip. These are sins of omission. God, oh, I love the way the Lord does this. First, He challenges Israel a bit about where they are. He challenges them about their heart. Then He shifts completely and begins to reveal to them what He will do for them and in them if they will respond the way that He's calling them to. Consider the corporate nature of these little expressions in verse 8 and the first part of verse 9. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Oh, Charity Christian Fellowship. You know, I watched the sun come up this morning. It was beautiful. And it did. It broke forth as the morning. And it overtook the night. Hallelujah. That's what it did. It was dark. Oh, it was dark. All of a sudden I began to see a little bit of light over there. I begin to just see a little glow on the horizon. And that glow on the horizon told me the sun is coming. The sun is coming up. I glimpsed a little bit later. Then I saw a red glow on the horizon. And that told me, yes, indeed, soon I will see that big red ball called the sun. I looked back at the door a few minutes later. And there it was, just beginning to peek its head up over the horizon. And God says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Charity Christian Fellowship. God wants to make us a city that is set on a hill. A city that shines. That's God's will. God will shine His light upon us. God will give us a revelation of His character. God will illuminate His Word to us as a people, as a congregation. That's what God wants to do. You know, as I was studying my way down through this chapter in a fresh and a new way, I thought about all the prayers that I heard through the weekend leading up to this service this morning. You know, we probably have covered everything that God said that He would do for us in this chapter. We probably covered it all in the cries and the prayers that we prayed in the last 2.5 days, 3 days. God wants to be our light and our salvation. Then shall thine health spring forth speedily. Oh, Charity Christian Fellowship. God, make us a healthy congregation. Spiritually strong. Spiritually alive. Spiritually vibrant. Full of zeal. Full of joy. Full of strength. This is what God is saying to us this morning. And yea, even help us to be physically healthy and whole and sound and right. I believe the one flows out of the other. Thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. You know, as I thought about that, I thought about John chapter 15. And that fruit-bearing life that Jesus challenged His disciples with. And I thought, yes, that's exactly what God is saying here. Righteousness, you want to be righteous? You need God. We need God if we're going to be righteous. We need God in reality in our life. Righteousness shall go before us. Righteousness shall push its way out into our lives. Because righteousness comes from God. And the glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. That glory is the presence of God. That's what glory is in the Bible. It is the presence, the majesty of a holy God. God said to Israel, you seek my face. You be willing to break the yokes. You let me break the yokes. You let me set the people free. And glory
shall be your rear reward. It will come along behind you. Righteousness will go before you. And my presence will come along behind you in all that you do. Listen to those beautiful promises that God gives us this morning. Verse 9. First part of verse 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and He shall say, Here I am. Now you have to remember, in the context of these verses, that that's what Israel was trying to get from God. They were trying to get God to do what they were asking Him. Hear our prayers. Do what we're asking. God, why aren't you doing what we're asking? We're going without food. Why aren't you doing what we're asking? God was not answering their prayers. God was not coming to their aid. But here God says, Oh, if you'll do it my way, my people. If you will seek me with your whole heart. If you will get serious about your own heart needs and the needs that are among you as a corporate body of believers, I will answer your prayers. Whew! Glory! How many prayers did we pray this weekend? Think about it. God says, I will hear you. I will answer your prayers. That's awesome in light of all the things we prayed for this weekend. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Do you believe that? God promises He will hear us when we call. All these things we're looking at here. These different points in verse 8. This point in verse 9. That's revival, brothers and sisters. That's what it is. We were challenged. Was it yesterday? I think yesterday morning we were challenged. What would we do if God came and visited us like He did in days gone by? What would we do? I do wonder that. I do wonder what we would do. Would we just go on from there, business as usual? Would we sit and drink up all the blessings and praise God and thank Him and enjoy it all and then go back to business as usual? I wonder what we would do if God would visit us that way. This is revival, brothers and sisters. Look at the last part of verse 9. Then God shifts back again. See how He's doing that? Our righteous God, He's doing that. Challenging us where we're at. Challenging Israel where they're at. Then promising Israel what He wants to do for them. Then shifts back again and says, Where are you at? Where are you at? If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking of vanity. Oh, that's some challenging words to us this morning. I studied that a little bit, that little phrase. Taking from the midst of thee the yoke. And as I can understand it, this is what God is saying there, the yokes that oppress others. If you take away the yokes that oppress others, may God deliver us from making yokes that oppress others. That's not God's will. And you know, it's easy to do that, you know, when you start getting high-minded and you think, well, we're it. And we've got it. And we've got the answers. Now you do it. You do it our way. And you do it only our way. There is no other way. May God help us. And deliver us from such attitudes as this. Some of these things came out yesterday in our men's prayer meeting. The putting forth of the finger. You know? Putting forth the finger. Yeah.
Yeah, them people over there. Yeah, that guy over there, that lady over there, that church over there. Did you hear what happened to that church over there? That's putting forth the finger. Oh, maybe we keep our hand in our pocket so nobody sees that we're sticking our bony finger out when we say it. But if those attitudes are in our heart, God is not pleased. The putting forth of the finger. Hey, did you hear what happened over there? No. Yeah, really? In the church? Fornication? No. Yeah, really? My, that's bad. Shame on us. Shame on us. If we enter into things like that. And I know we have. Maybe not last week, but I know we have. That's putting forth the finger. God won't bless that. God can't bless that. Listen, we are not so hot around here, brothers and sisters. It's not so sweet and so great that we can all lift up our heads and say, boy, aren't we glad we're here and nobody and nowhere else? Those kind of attitudes, God cannot bless. The speaking of vanity is empty speaking. It's gossip. It's nonsense. That's something that came out again in our meetings among the brothers. I don't know about the sisters. I understand you had a blessed time yesterday afternoon, but these things came out in our brothers' discussions as we were opening our hearts to each other. Attitudes that we're really something, you know. We're Charity Christian Fellowship, you know. These things came out. Attitudes of gossip and speaking foolishness. And different brothers even opened their hearts up and said, I'm full of foolishness and got nonsense in me and I'm just a big joker all the time. And God says, put away those things. Don't you know eternity is coming? Put away your nonsense. Put away your foolish ways. That's what God says. Listen, 5 seconds in the awesome presence of God will take every bit of foolishness right out of your heart. And I speak that to myself also. The speaking of vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, there again God turns to others again. To bear the burdens of those that are around us is God's will for this church. I think of some of the prayers that we prayed through the weekend. Looking out around us. Just beginning to get underneath the burden. To bear the burden of those that are around us, brothers and sisters, is God's will for us. I'm so thrilled that we're wanting to bear those burdens. So thrilled for the prayers that are being prayed. Sincere prayers. Earnest prayers for those that are around us. God wants us to bear the burdens of those that are around us. That's God's will. He has placed us where He has placed us. And God has work for us to do right here. Praise God for all the ministries that we prayed for through the weekend, the other evening. What a beautiful season of prayer that was. You know, praise God, we can go across the ocean and witness over there and we can send out tapes in the United States. But you know, we are a local church with local responsibilities. We live here. If you get under the burden and bear the burdens of those that are around us, God says. What are the results? Then, verse 10 in the middle, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. Again, God is speaking about light. We heard a message about light yesterday morning. That we need light. That we want light. That we want God to convict us. That we want God to convince us of the way to go. God says, this is how you get that light. This is how we get more light. We respond to what God is saying to us, and God shines more light upon us. But not only does God shine light upon us, God makes us a light that shines. And it's beautiful here in verse 10. Now we're a light. Not a light like the sun that is coming up, little by little by little. But now we're a light shining in darkness. That's what God wants the church to be. A light that shines in the darkness. In the darkest of times, the light shines the brightest. That's what God wants us to be. Light in the midst of dark times. The church in Acts was that. Oh, how the light of the church did shine in the Acts. The light of faith. The light of truth. The light of revelation. The light of victory. The light of Christ. The light of salvation. God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. No darkness. Look at the next little phrase here. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. That's probably the greatest prayer that we've been praying for these 3 days, is that God will guide us continually. And here it is right here. God promises, you seek my face, you humble your heart, you turn from your own wicked ways, and you turn to those who are bound among you and pray that they'll be loosed. And I will guide thee continually. You know, sometimes I think we're afraid. We're afraid we're going to go wrong. We're afraid we're going to make the mistake. God doesn't want us to be filled with fear. God wants us to be filled with faith. We're afraid we're going to make a mistake. Listen, turn your energies toward God. Let God be a living reality in your heart. Let God be a living reality in this fellowship, and we don't need to be afraid that we're going to go astray. I will guide you continually, God says. May it ever be so. And satisfy thy soul in the drought. Look at those words. Charity Christian Fellowship. We live in a dry and thirsty land. But we do not have to be a dry and thirsty people, even though we live in a dry and a thirsty land. God wants this place to be a place where people can come and get a drink. That's God's will. And make fat thy bones. There it's speaking about health again. God, make us healthy. Make us a healthy New Testament church, Lord. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. You know, when I first read that, I thought, okay, that's saying the same thing twice. But then I thought, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. One is a garden, and one is a fountain. First, God says, I'll make you like a watered garden. I will make you fruitful. You will bear fruit. You will be fruitful in my ways, in my righteousness. And then God says, I will make you like a fountain whose waters never fail. Just keep bubbling and bubbling and bubbling. I want us to notice the corporate nature of these things this morning, brothers and sisters. God is not just saying this to you as an individual. God wants to do this with us as a church. Then, what comes next? Verse 12. Ministry. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. Thou shalt be called the restorer of paths to dwell in. That we could just put it all in one place and say, ministry. That again is why God has us here. We
are stationed in this locality that we might be an expression of the body of Christ in this area where we live. The expression of the body of Christ. And that expression is one that reaches out side of here. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. We are the body of Christ upon this earth in this locale. And I see in these verses ministry. And again, we prayed much about ministry over these last 3 days. Here we see God promising us these very things. Verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasures, nor speaking thine own words. Now, most people skip this verse, but I'm not skipping this verse this morning. But most people are skipping this verse, just kind of broop, up to the next one. But it's there. And I just want to challenge us this morning with that verse right there. I believe one of the biggest mistakes that this land of ours made was when they said, we're free from the law. We don't have to give the Lord a special day every week. The Sabbath is ours every day of the week. And all those kind of things that they say. We're free. We're clear. You know, all of that. And I'm not saying you can only walk 200 feet in a day. And I'm not saying you can't cook a meal or something like that. But all I'm saying is that principle of laying aside a day and giving it to God, I don't think we need to run away from that. I don't think we should walk away from it and say, we don't need that anymore. God says, make my day a delight. Praise God. Make it a delight. And I praise God that when I meet my brothers and sisters on Sunday morning, I meet brothers and sisters that are excited to be here. It's not a have to, it's a get to thing. And I praise God for that. But what about the rest of the day? That's what I want to challenge you with a bit this morning. What about the rest of the day? Is it your delight in the Lord? Or is the rest of the day your day? I've given God these 3 hours or these 4 hours. Now the rest of the day is mine. You know, that's where the world's going. That's where the evangelical world is going. Quick, get in there. Give me a 1 hour service. I haven't got time for a 2 hour one. I've got plans this afternoon. My plans. I need to catch up on my shopping and the stores are open. I'm going. Brothers and sisters, I don't think that's going to come out right. I do not think it's going to come out right. In fact, all you got to do is look around. It didn't come out right. They're all free from the law and they lost the day completely. Doing thy pleasure on my holy day. I praise God for the conscience that we have here. I praise God for it. I praise God for all the fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters who gather together and give the day to God, and it's a day of worship, and it's a day of reflection and meditation, it's a day of fellowship. But I fear that while we're sitting in the living room drawing our hearts toward the Lord, we're letting our young people go more and more and more toward, it's a day for games. It's a day for games. Come on over. We're going to get the volleyball out and we're going to go for it. I fear that, brothers and sisters. And some of our young people are thinking, when is this service going to be over? A game this afternoon. So-and-so is going to come. I'm going to get that game. I'm going to spike that ball. I'm going to do those things. I tell you, I fear that, brothers and sisters.
I'm not saying you can't play a little here or there, but I just think we don't want to go down that road. Please play your volleyball game on Friday night.
Give the day to the Lord.
Why? Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, or then you will find your delight, your joy, your satisfaction in God and God alone. That's what it says. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. Notice, first God says, if you make my day a delight, if you make my day my day, if you make my day a jealous day, and don't make it your day, and don't do your things, and don't speak your words, and don't have your plans, and don't have your mind, but you give me my day. Then God turns around and says, you will find yourself delighting in me. Now it's not a day, it's Him. See? And that's what God had in mind from the beginning. Now it's not a day, it's Him. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, Charity Christian Fellowship, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. These are beautiful words for us this morning. They challenge us. They provoke us. They encourage us. And I just want to use them this morning to guide our own hearts a bit, to inspire us that we, as a people, would look at what is happening here through this weekend and say, yes, Lord, we want this. We want to do this again. We want to follow the principles that you've laid out in your book. You know, we spoke about a Chinese church here, and it's some time ago now. I can't remember. But you know, and I remember. I remember what our heart's attitude was at the end of that message. Do you remember? Our hearts said, God, make us one of those churches. Remember that? God, make us one of those churches. This is how it's done. This is one of those steps toward making us one of those kind of churches. May God help us. Brother Aaron challenged us sometime. Maybe it was Friday evening. I can't remember. He read John chapter 17. I reflected on John chapter 17 earlier this morning as I was going down through this chapter here in Isaiah 58. And guess what? They're just like this. You know, that prayer that Jesus prayed, which by the way, has already been answered. God is just waiting for His people to enter into it because it's already answered. That prayer fits this chapter so beautifully. So beautifully. God wants us to prosper. He wants us to be a vitally alive fellowship in this Lancaster County where we live. Weekends like this move us toward that end. May we be wise enough to humble ourselves, to lower ourselves, to open up our hearts, to acknowledge who we are, to get honest with ourselves, with God, and yea, maybe even with God's people, and seek God in fasting prayer. May God help us. I'll give the time to Brother Aaron.
Let's kneel together before the Lord. Father in heaven, Lord, we have heard your voice this morning, God. We have heard your word, Lord. And Father, we just bow our knee before you, God. Father, we confess, Lord, that we are not it, God. We are nothing without you, Lord. We have many needs, Father. Oh, God, I pray that you would thoroughly wash us, Lord, from the sins, God, that we read in your holy word this morning, God, that were spoken to our hearts, Father. Lord, that we could be a people, Father, who are the holy people of God, who walk with you, Lord, who know you, Lord. Oh, Father, deliver us from just going through the motions, Lord. God, we just do thank you for speaking to us again today, Lord. And Father, as we're down upon our knees before you, God, we welcome the convicting power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to convict us of sin, Lord, to convince us of righteousness and of judgment, O God. Father, we just do pray that you would, even today, Lord, Father, speak to each one of us here, Lord. Father, if there's any here, Lord, that you have laid your finger upon their heart, Lord, in the real way of a need, of a sin, God. Father, that today we could come, Lord, to the cross of our Lord Jesus and confess and repent and be delivered and set free. Father, are there yokes? Yokes of sin and bondage? Yet upon our hearts, even today, after the prayer and fasting time, Lord. Father, would you just show us, Lord. Deal with us, God. Father, we just do commit the rest of this time into your hand and ask you, Lord, that you would have your way, Father. That your will would be done in earth as it is in heaven. Oh God, thank you for speaking to us, Lord. Have your way, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just listen before the Lord. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee, then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Awesome words of our Lord Jesus. True evangelical faith cannot lie sleeping. Just like in Isaiah, God said, you know, when you stretch out your hand to the needy, when you clothe the naked, when you feed the hungry. I'd like for us to sing just a verse of invitation this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and God has laid His finger on your heart and you realize, you know, I'm just the saith Christians. Remember Brother Moses years ago preached that message out of 1 John. Those that say, but they do not. Maybe you realize this morning you put heavy burdens and grievous to be borne on others. You hold a high standard over others and you're critical of others. Maybe you realize this morning, I'm guilty of putting forth the finger. Maybe you realize this morning, I'm guilty of the sins of omission. I have not stretched out my hand to the needy, to the hungry. I have no burden for the lost. God is speaking to you this morning. We want to give you an opportunity to respond to the gracious invitation of our Lord. Brother Kenny, what song can we sing together? 868. We were reminded that conviction is a beautiful thing. It is God's mercy. It's God's love when He convicts us and He speaks to our hearts. Let us respond to the Lord this morning. I just invite you to get up out of your seat and come forward and kneel here at the front if God has laid His finger upon your heart. 868. Let's sing it together. Come right away. Father, thank you that you came to save. Father, thank you that you're the God who is a pardoning God. Father, we want the reality of the blessings of a Spirit-filled life. A life that is like a watered garden. A life that is like a springing fountain. Oh, Father, forgive us our sins, Lord. And wash us in the blood of the Lord Jesus. And heal us, Father, from our wanderings and goings astray, Father. Oh, Lord, strike deeply at the pride of our hearts, Lord. Oh, God. Yes, Father, we have sinned, Lord. I know that I have sinned, Lord. I know that I made statements in the past, God, pointing at other churches. And God, I'm so sorry, Lord. Please forgive me, Lord. Please cleanse me and wash me from it, Lord. Father, as a church, please cleanse us and wash us thoroughly from that spirit of pointing the finger, Lord, and being proud and saying, but in our church, we're not going to have that in our church. Oh, God, forgive us, Lord, the folly, the pride of such a statement, Lord. For, Father, except you have your way in our hearts and you deliver us and deliver us from these sins, Lord, of the flesh, Father, lest we be a humble people, Lord, you will humble us, Lord. Oh, Father, would you please purge us thoroughly and wash us from all our iniquities, Lord. And make us a humble, holy people of God that you can use, Lord. Oh, Father. Lord, please forgive us and wash us and cleanse us, Lord. And take away our iniquities, God. And the effects of them, Lord. Those proud statements that have been made, Lord. Oh, Father, stop the reaping of them, Lord. We repent, Lord. We confess it, God. Lord, we're nothing without you, Lord. Save us, Lord. Save us from our iniquities and our sins, Lord. Save our children, Lord. Save our families, Lord. From the reapings, Lord, of proud statements we would have made in the past and did make, Lord. Forgive us, Father. Wash us, Lord, and cleanse us, Father, and save us, God. Save us from going astray. Save us from departing from God into the world, Lord. Oh, God, have mercy upon us, God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the blood of Christ Jesus that cleanses and washes, Lord. Father, as we just wait before you this morning, is there anyone else that needs to yet stand to their feet and come to the front, just publicly acknowledging, I have sinned. I have gossiped. I have been a backbiter. I have been critical of God's people. I have accused. I have sinned. Oh, Lord, cleanse us as a body, as a congregation, from the sins of the flesh, from the sins of the Spirit. Oh, God. And then take us on, Father. Take us on, Lord. Make us to be the people of God that you can use, Lord, that you can fill us with the Holy Ghost and get glory to your name, not because of who we are, but because of who you are, Lord. For your holy name's sake, Lord. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord.
thy precious bleeding side.
Amen, Lord. Is that song in our books? No, it's not.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it spoke thy love to me. And I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer unto thee.
Let it be our prayer from our hearts.
Be nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou
next verse is, consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by thy power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine.
Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend.
Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.